Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
Books. Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gutenberg? It's a rhetorical question, sir. But where would we be without books?
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to Bookworm. Today, I'm going to be talking about an extraordinary book. It's called The Heart of a Stranger. It's an anthology of exile literature. And, you know, once upon a time, that was an inevitable subject when we were talking about Joseph Conrad, who wrote in English when his native language was Polish, or about Vladimir Nabokov when he was an exiled Russian aristocrat, native language Russian, wrote first in German and then in English. But here we have an anthology. I think it's one of the most remarkable anthologies I've ever read. It takes us from the ancient Greeks up to the present and shows us how much of the world has been living in exile. Odysseus's return to Greece at the end of the Trojan War is the story of a man going from an island to island exile. Sometimes the exiles in this book are like the Britishers in Africa. They're exiles in paradise. They are really, what is the expression you found for this, Andre?
Parasites.
Parasites in paradise. Andre Nafis-Sahili is the editor of this book, The Heart of a Stranger. He gathers essays, letters, diaries, poetry from every continent. How many authors are there in this book, do you think?
There's 100 contributors.
We're reading not just Homer and the Old Testament and the New Testament, but all the way to Palestinian poetry. This editor is born of an Iranian father and an Italian mother. He was born in Abu Dhabi, and he brings the travels around the world. He's taught in England. He's currently teaching classes both at Occidental College and UCLA. Now, I'm telling you, my listeners, this is the book to read if you want to know what is happening in the literary world today. Who are the people who are talking to us? Who were their predecessors, people like Emma Goldman? How did the idea for this anthology begin, Andre?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the program. It's really quite a privilege to be able to talk to you about this. You know, the first question I usually get asked dealing with this book is why now? And I think a lot of people pointed to the fact that, you know, this seems to be a particularly good moment to talk about exile. Although, of course, there's never been a bad moment to talk about exile. You know, there's 65 million displaced people that we know of this year, two major wars. And, of course, right now I'm living in Los Angeles, which is a home of exiles. You know, we tend to think of the homeless here in Los Angeles as coming from somewhere else, attracted by the clement California weather. But of course, a lot of them are Californians. So there's that dimension of the book. The other one is personal. While it took me roughly around 3 years to put the book together after I signed the contract with the publishers, in reality, I've really been preparing for it my entire life. My father, as you mentioned, is Iranian. He was exiled from Iran in 1979 for belonging to a fringe communist group. He was forced at the end of a barrel to leave the country. My grandfathers on both sides were economic exiles of one kind or another. And so I think there was this intense personal history on the one hand, and on the other, the need to create a very modest platform for some of the writers that I think need wider exposure.
Let's pretend that I have not seen this anthology before. What is the literature of exile? I know it has many definitions, and that's one of its definitions, that it can't be defined. Mm-hmm. But what is it?
Well, I think, you know, it's safe to say that, especially these days, we tend to think of exile as a byproduct of civilization. So we are continually exposed to headline speak that talks about political exiles and exiles of war, tax exiled, governments in exile. But I think it's quite clear to me that exile is actually the engine of civilization. So take the founding myth of the Israelites. Without an exodus, there is no promised land. The American Republic was founded by exiles, the European Union likewise. The Italian Renaissance was fueled by Byzantine exiles. So the literature of exile, as I see it really, is a record of the civilizational process. Because again, without exile, you cannot have civilization. The very first story actually in the book is a retelling of an ancient Egyptian myth by the fantastic novelist Naguib Mahfouz, one of my favorite authors.
Didn't Mahfouz win a Nobel Prize?
He did. Thus, to date, he is the only Middle Eastern Nobel laureate.
As I read the story of the reappearance of a goddess in Egypt, a lost princess, I felt, oh my, this is a kind of literature. Part of it is born of the Arabian Nights, but part of it is born of last week. It's an extraordinary piece, and it's followed immediately by a section of the Torah from the Exodus. We all know from reggae songs, by the river of Babylon, I sat down and wept and remembered Zion. But who remembers that Zion is from the Old Testament? And during the Babylonian exile, you sat by the rivers of Babylon and remembered Zion. Part of the job of life is to remember the ancient homeland, whether that be that of our grandparents. But I was astonished over and over again. You say in this book things I never thought about. I knew that exile was a common punishment in the Roman Empire. Anyone who reads Ovid knows that. But exile, going to a monastery, prayer and meditation, is a reward, a salvation in the Christian theology. So the same thing becomes opposed in its nature as time brings exile into different focuses and different reasons, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this part of the delight in assembling this, as you might imagine, was my own personal journey of discovery. Despite making my living from writing, I didn't study literature at university. I was a historian by formation, and one of the most interesting episodes that I came across was the fact that exile, or the practice of exile as the ancient Greeks conceived of it, particularly the Athenians, is in essence almost our first reality TV program, unplugged, of course. Aristotle's Athenian Constitution mentions the law of ostracism, whereby the names of powerful men, always wealthy usually, who were suspected of abusing their political offices were submitted to a vote. So the citizens would assemble in the Athenian agora. The citizens would scratch the names of the person they wanted exiled the most onto shards of broken pottery, and then the shards would be tallied up. And so, you know, it's very easy to draw a parallel between that and a lot of the programs that people watch these days that function along the same lines. In terms of Ovid, I think it's worth saying that, as far as I conceived it anyway, the book, the anthology, The Art of a Stranger, was really anti-Ovidian. I think part of the reason that I was motivated to put this together is I think Ovid has always held forth a very nostalgic, very navel-gazing, very male very privileged take on exile, which I think has accompanied the notion in at least Western literature for far too long. So part of the aim here really was to try and produce a seismic shift along the lines that you mentioned. Of course, you went from Rome, where exile was a fate worse than death, because what is an individual without their civic ties, without the comfort and privileges the society endows them with, to then become a source of salvation instead? Because as the ancient world was falling apart, Christianity provided this escape from the world where people could retreat from the devastation around them and seek union with God.
I'm talking right now to André Nafis Sahali. Let me spell it for you. I'll spell the last name. Nafis hyphen Sahely. This is perhaps the most extraordinary anthology I've come across over the last 20 years. This is the anthology of the people who are speaking, having been banished from their homelands, politically, economically. We have them right now in America. The huge discussion is the terrifying border wall discussion. We here, and the show comes from KCRW in Los Angeles, are living in a city that is statistically more than half Latino, and yet the city doesn't tend to acknowledge that very readily. Exile is the condition under which we live, and if, like me, you associate exile, say, with the Jews put into boxcars and taken to concentration camps, well, when you read The Heart of a Stranger, this magnificent anthology by my guest André Nafis Sahely, you discover that those same boxcars are used to remove a whole town of miners who are unionizing, who are being punished by being sent some thousands of miles away to New Mexico. If they come back, they are not allowed to get work. They're regarded, again, as aliens. This problem of the alien and the famous Walt Whitman sentence, "Nothing human is alien to me."
I think one of the my favorite pieces in the anthology, really, just because it really gets down to brass tacks, as they say, is a list poem by the contemporary Iranian poet Kaveh Basiri. It's called The 99 Names of Exile. And what it does, I think very ingeniously, is alphabetically take us through a list of nouns or adjectives associated with the exile, with the alien, who very often, of course, stripped of their humanity. The pieces I selected here, I wanted them to be read as though every word had truly been earned from a sense of not just personal suffering, but I think personal revelation created by being in exile.
Let's hear that list poem.
The poet is an Iranian-American poet. His name is Kaveh Basiri, and the poem is entitled 99 Names of Exile. Adam and Eve, afflicted, afraid, alien, banished, beggar, castaway, colonist, condemned, crippled, dangerous, dark, deportee, deserter, detested, different, dirty, disgraced, disinherited, dismissed, disowned, displaced, dispossessed, dyke, emigrant, ethnic, evil, exotic, expatriated, expelled, extraterrestrial, foreign, forsaken, fugitive, guilty, heretic, homeless, homesick, impure, infectious, inhuman, insurgent, invisible, Ishmael, Jew, Kashmiri, lost, malefactor, marooned, mysterious, nigger, non-citizen, non-conformist, other, outcast, outlaw, outsider, overseas, pariah, queer, refugee, resident alien, runaway, scapegoat, squatter, stateless, stranger, street Arab, terrorist, traitor, trespasser, unclean, uncorrectable, undesirable, undomesticated, unfit, unfortunate, unidentified, uninvited, unknown, unnamed, unrecognized, unskilled, unspeakable, unthinkable, untouchable, unusual, unwanted, unwilling, unworthy, victim, villain, virus, wanderer, witch, wrong, X, yellow, zero.
Now, tell us about that poet, Andre. I didn't know him before I read your book, and I found that poem in particular heartbreaking.
Well, Kaveh Bassir is an Iranian-American writer and translator, and widely published. He was someone I actually came across in an anthology by Sholeh Wolpe, who is one of the other contributors to this anthology. Now, Sholeh Wolpe actually is someone worth mentioning in the sense that she is one of the very few people, one of two actually, who is featured in this book as both a writer in their own right and as a translator too. So Sholeh's work here appears in a beautiful poem, The World Goes Black Foreign Walls, and then she is also represented as a translator because there's an excerpt from her translation of the medieval Sufi Iranian poet Attar, who's the Conference of the Birds. She translates. She was actually the first female translator of that epic. And so she appears twice over in this book, like Mimi Kalvadi, a British Iranian poet, who here appears as both a poet and a translator of a Kurdish poet. It's worth saying at this point that much as I wanted the book to be inclusive, what I realized that the project led me to do was to adopt a historical perspective where, yes, there are some contemporary voices in the book, but not as many as I would have wanted, in the sense that I decided to make 1950 the cutoff year. So there's only two poets that were born after 1950 in the book. And the reason I did that was because I realized that the way literature has shifted, especially in the past couple of decades, would mean that if I wanted to put together an anthology of contemporary writing about exiles, I would need far more than one volume with 350 pages. And it would have to be wholly, entirely about contemporary literature. Whereas here, what I wanted to do was essentially provide a miniature history of human civilization through the literature of exile.
I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to KCRW's Bookworm. I'm talking with Andre Nafis-Saheli about the book he edited, The Heart of a Stranger, an anthology of exile literature. We'll continue after this short break.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Reptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm. And I'm talking about an extraordinary book, a book that I think everyone should order and begin to read. It's called The Heart of a Stranger. It's a collection of literature about exile, an anthology of exile poetry, fiction and nonfiction, that journeys through six continents with over 100 contributors drawn from 24 languages. Its editor is with me, Andre Nafis-Saheli. What you have succeeded in doing is showing me that there is an entire unexplored world literature that is not part of any canon, but that includes all of the classics. We've got letters here from the Greeks, from the Romans. We've got extraordinarily beautiful pieces that introduce me as a reader to the sense of being in the world where we are in search for the restoration of the heart, to be reconnected to the soul, to no longer feel that we live among strangers whom we justly neglect. There's no such thing. And right now, we're living in an America that has to take the strangeness of its melting pot activities back to heart. In this book is also, it had to be there, Emma Lazarus's poem at the base of the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, yearning to breathe free. I remember having to memorize that poem in the fourth grade. And somehow or other, we laid that America, the America of the melting pot of the deep variety of bonded foreigners, all come together to create a country of new freedom, a new destiny for the strangers of the world. This is what this anthology pays tribute to. Could you read another poem from the book, Andre?
Absolutely. And given the large Armenian population in Los Angeles, I thought it might be an appropriate choice. It's by arguably one of the great, if not the greatest, Armenian poets of the 20th century, Silva Kaputikyan, who here is translated from Armenia by Diana Der Hovhannisyan. The poem is entitled Perhaps. Perhaps you became so small, Armenia, so we could carry you in our hearts. Perhaps you changed into charred parchment so we would tremble lest you fall apart. Perhaps your handful of soil was meant as talisman, lesson, and exercise. Your name became the symbol, perhaps, for purification in a world of lies.
My word, it's a beautiful poem. Would you do me a favor and read it again? You can't hear a poem the first time. Let's hear it again.
Of course. This poem is by Silva Kaputikyan, and it's entitled Perhaps. Perhaps you became so small, Armenia, so we could carry you in our hearts. Perhaps you changed into charred parchment so we would tremble lest you fall apart. Perhaps your handful of soil was meant as talisman, lesson, and exercise. Your name became the symbol, perhaps, for purification in a world of lies.
Thank you. This is from the anthology, The Heart of a Stranger, an anthology of exile literature, which I found in my particular case to be one of the most stirring and informative books I've come upon in years. I'm very grateful for it because you've given me a whole list of writers that I want to start to read and know better. But there are poets here that I've never heard of. You know, there's been a rift in the American consciousness of poetry between writers, say, like John Ashbery, and writers of a more political sort. For the first time, in The Heart of a Stranger, I read political poetry that moved me, that reached my soul, that didn't strike me as being merely political poetry, that was as beautiful and moving as any poetry at all. Did you have quality as a criterion here? Because after all, in much political writing, we're not talking about quality. We're talking about getting a message across.
That's right. I think, you know, political poetry sometimes rightly, I think, is saddled with the fact that it's so rhetorical and focused on delivering a message that it sacrifices what we would think as all the attributes that a good piece of literature should really have. But I think that distinction has always been illusory, really. And it part of it is linked to where we look for these texts. So I think that assembling the book, of course, quality was a part of it because I knew that I did not have to sacrifice it at all. I have always believed more or less, and this has been put to the test through my various readings and research, that political poetry is not a different sort of genre of literature. It's merely a matter of perspective and how the writer's life was shaped.
One poem in particular details the voyage of a Jewish family from Russia to England. My own family were exiles from Russia who came to America. My grandmother had to go and kidnap my uncle, who was impressed in the Russian cavalry as a ammunition carrier. She had to bribe soldiers with chocolates to find out where he was. And that story is told here, too. The story of the world you discover when you read The Heart of a Stranger, an anthology put together by my guest, Andre Nafis-Sahili, is a story of exile. I would say that some of us ourselves live in exile from our own souls, that we're trying to reclaim the soul, which is ultimately the homeland of everything, that we are all lost souls desiring a home. And that is ultimately what this book gave me. Instructions, a manual, a map for restoring my sense of home. Thank you very much, Andre Nafis-Sahili, for putting together this beautiful anthology, The Heart of a Stranger, published by Pushkin Press. And thank you for joining us today to talk about it.
Thank you so much, Michael. It was an absolute delight.
It's been great fun for me, because one of the things that I learned, here I was discovering Andre and this anthology, and the pleasure, the honor of learning that he's been listening to Bookworm for years, that the show has grown from being a Los Angeles manifestation to something heard all over the world. And to some extent, our job is to restore the global community of all of our cultures as it is expressed in all of our literatures. You can visit kcrw.com/bookworm for a podcast of today's show. It's also available at Apple, Spotify, and all the other podcast services. You can even listen on demand with KCRW's smartphone apps. Special thanks to co-producer Sean Sullivan, associate producer Alan Howard, and technical director Mario Diaz. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she's a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcasts, the most recent ones, at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mayle of Sparks.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air, new music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.